Welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry. Gonna be all over the map again. First, thank you to Battleborn Tree Service for sponsoring the show. We've gotten a lot of listener feedback lately. There's the State Bill 235 we got to get to.
Yeah.
Junior, first come, first serve tags. You just got back from another scouting trip, Dave.
Yes, I did.
And you found some good bulls.
Yeah, I did. Found some good bulls and kind of got myself back to being excited.
Yeah.
A lot to choose from out there. There's a few bulls out there that I think are going to turn up to be quite exceptional.
Yeah, some of those pictures are pretty good.
Yeah, as long as, you know, we can find them.
Yeah,
you know, that's usually they're not big for I mean, they know.
They didn't get that big.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't get that big by being walking dumb out in the middle of a field for you.
Let's talk about that real quick. So for this first segment, we both had a conversation off air about this, and we both have those friends who are willing to eat a tag in Nevada on a bull hunt because they've got in their head, it's got to be this, you know, a 360 or better.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be a wall hanger bull. It's got to be exactly. It has to have this mass. It has to have these back. It has to have a whale tail.
It's
got
to look to it.
Right, right. And they're willing to eat the tag and go hunt for 20 some days and be like, it was fun, but I didn't get a bull. When there were so many opportunities to shoot maybe a smaller bull and at least pack the freezer, because it doesn't matter.
Bingo.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Either you get the bull or you don't get the bull. You still have a waiting period of 7 years. So
yeah, I want to make that clear to listeners because that changed.
Used to be a 10-year.
Five and 10.
Yeah, a 10-year wait if you harvested and then a 5-year wait if you didn't.
Right.
And the Department of Wildlife was seeing a very low success rate occurring when they asked tag holders, like, why didn't you harvest? Well, I'm not going to waste a tag and wait 10 years when I can not kill the bull I want and only wait five and then get back in the draw. So then it all changed to 7 and 7.
Right. So you're going to have to wait no matter what. And I'll call it the Instagram effect or the social media effect. As far as people think of Nevada and put it in like one of the top 5 states for harvesting a monster bull.
Yeah.
And all you see on social media is monster bulls hitting the ground. I mean, Nevada is a phenomenal state for producing those big, like 380 and up class bulls.
Oh, definitely.
But for people listening, it is still public land. If you want to hold out for a true monster, there's places like the Gila Wilderness, the Henry Mountain Unit over in Utah. There's places to go where I'll call it like a shooter's choice unit. You're going to be calling in 350, 360 bulls. You can wait. Nevada, no matter what you see on Instagram, is still one of those states where, those monsters are out there, but don't be one of those people eating a tag unless, everybody do what you want. I'm not knocking the guys that are like, it's got to be this, that, or the other thing. But the reality is, man, a 330, 340 bull in the state of Nevada is a great bull.
Oh, yeah.
That's not something I would pass on. And I don't know when in your 9-to-5, you see more data than I do as far as like bulls killed. And I still go back to that, like, man, you're going to see 15, 20 big, big, truly monstrous bulls hit the dirt in the state and you'll see them on social.
Maybe.
Less than that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Less than that. I mean, there's, you know, multiple pictures may shoot around the social media world and everyone's like, oh, there's another one down another one, but it's the same picture from a different point. But
I
think,
okay,
you know, last year it's like under a handful, like I think it was seven, eight bulls that were in the 380 and up range.
Oh, that few. Okay.
I mean, when you start getting into that caliber of bull, I mean, that's massive.
Right.
And that's not something you just kind of like, oh, look, there's one. I mean, that's the kind you see it and your jaw drops and you start to sweat. You're like, oh my God, Jesus, that's something.
That's, let's go for that.
Yeah, that's like something out of the Pleistocene. What are we doing here? You know, I'd be fine with a nice 320 bull. You know, we ran into a guy up there that was running around scouting. He's from Utah.
Okay.
And he has a muzzleloader bull tag. And just chit-chatting with him and he's like, I'm not seeing anything I want to shoot. And just out of curiosity, I asked, what's your target? And he goes, nothing less than 390.
Oh, buddy.
And I was like, well,
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, he's like, no, nope, I'm taking a long time to get this tag, and I'm nothing less than 390. And I'm like, good luck, buddy.
I've seen in all my years of knocking around in the hills and going on friends' hunts and helping out and just being out there, I've seen three bulls that maybe were knocking on that like 380-ish door.
I'm the same way, yeah.
That's it.
And I've spent hundreds of days in the field for either work or for pleasure. Yeah, maybe three bulls that are in the 380 and up range that I physically put my eyes on.
But again, different units. I mean, probably, 11 or 12 years apart. The two really big ones. You know, most units in the state, if you spend enough time in them, you'll find those 330, 340 bulls.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's a great bull to find on public land in the state of Nevada.
Yeah.
And you should absolutely be happy with that.
You know, the thing is, there's folks that just, they are antler and horn hunters, which is fine. I mean, that's your program. That's cool.
Yeah.
And they may not like game meat. So they're like, they don't care about the meat. They want that wall hanger. And
as long as
that.
It doesn't go to waste.
Right. Yeah.
Do what you want to do.
Yeah. If you harvest it and you hand out the meat to friends and family and stuff, that's cool. I mean, that's your choice to do. And if you are a horn and antler hunter and that's it, you want the wall hangers to decorate your house or your cabin, whatever, you know, that's cool.
Power to you.
Yeah. You know, but in all, these tags are made for management practices, for managing
great
herds.
Point. Yeah.
And you know, when there are very low success rates, that does create an issue at times, especially when you have like excessive winters, like we generally do get. We'll get these winters where it's just a gangbuster year and there's 4 or 5 feet snow out there.
Right.
Well, if you haven't managed the herds effectively and brought those numbers into manageable ranges, those decreased success rates can have a greater effect down the road when these animals are beginning to starve. And then you end up losing a lot more animals.
Because
of it, because they can't find food. Because animals don't, they're not like us. They don't ration food.
Yeah. You know,
they don't go
You've
into
made a, that point
yeah,
before.
They don't go into a meadow and like, okay, we're just going to eat this section today and then we'll eat it. They go in until it's done and that's it. And then there's nothing left until it greens back up. If there's a lot of snow and stuff, then they starve.
I've had text conversations with friends and stuff, one of them back east. There is that perception out there that Nevada just, there's a 380 bull
around every tree.
You're going to find them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the point I made to him is like, man, I've turned up, like I said, I've turned up maybe three, definitely two, but one was back in like 2015-ish, and one was just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You are not going to find those. And I want to make that point to people so they understand, like, hey, look, a 5x5, you know, if it's a good bull, like, kill it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the hunt. Enjoy the experience. Kill that bull. It doesn't matter if it's a herd bull or a satellite bull. If it makes you happy, it fills your freezer, by all means, do it. But don't draw a tag and think you're going to sit on it because you're going to turn up one of these monsters.
And I mean, it will have some, somebody's going to, somebody's going to,
somebody's going to
get house lucky and they're going to be like walking along and like, oh wow. And this something's going to stand up and, which is, that's cool, man. I wish that could be me. That'd be
it just doesn't
happen.
No.
You know, the one thing as I've noticed throughout the years is folks that do end up harvesting and they're like, man, that was a 380 bull. Then they shoot it, you know, and they kill this thing and then they measure it and it's like a 360 or a 355.
Right.
But it's still massive. They thought it was a 380 on the hoof. And then they're all bummed out because when they put the tape to it, it's only a 360. And they're like, oh man.
Was it a mature bull?
Yeah.
Well, be happy.
And a 360 bull. That's a big bull.
Yes.
So there's that whole perception too. People that are out there and on the world of social media and they're reporting like, I saw three 380s and two 290s to, or 390s today. And you're like, I don't think you did. I think you saw something in the 340 to 360 range and you think
which is still a big bull.
Yeah. And you think it's 380 or 390.
Well, we've talked before. I've got that quick little 50-50-40 thing. And
I've got
my little things for like gauging. But yeah, it's like the, I'll draw an analogy to fly fishing. Oh, every fish was over 20 inches. That's a big trout.
That's a big
trout. I don't know about that. There are very few places around here where you're going to turn up a bunch of 20-plus inch trout, and you hear those, oh, it was a seven-pound fish?
Yeah.
That is a monster. I got to see pictures of this.
Right.
And then you see, it's like it's a big fish, but again, it's that same thing where people are like, it was a 380 bull. Man, do you know how big that sucker has got to be? Giant.
Yeah.
Like to knock on that 380.
Yeah. Board. He's like scratching his hind end with his antlers.
Yes. He has got an extraordinary amount of mass, and usually they've got an extraordinary amount of width.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, there's my word to the wise of people listening, and I'm sure most of you know this, but man, if you're one of the lucky few that's got a bull tag this year, I would not hang my head in shame with your public land 320, 330 bull.
Nope.
That's a great bull.
That's a great bull.
We'll wrap up on that. When we come back, let's talk about a little bit of shed hunting legal action that's going on and actually passed last month. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back to Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Big thanks to Jim Irwin and Shooting Performance Institute for sponsoring the show. There is still time left in the summer. Get out there, get dialed. Make sure you're ready to drop that 420-inch bull when he steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he steps out.
When he steps out.
Thank you to Jim for sponsoring the show, Shooting Performance Institute. Go to shootingperformanceinstitute.com for a full course list, what he's got available, and he's also always available for private instruction. Let's jump back into NVSB 235. It was a bill proposed by Ira Hansen.
Yep.
I think this was a step in the right direction. And it's funny because as involved in the hunting community as I think I am, and basically all my friends are hunters, you know, I hear all the gossip or whatever going around. This wasn't even on my radar until I got an email about it. What this bill, and it passed June 6th, what this bill does is essentially, if you are a non-commercial, if you're just like a hunter, hiker, outdoorsman, whatever, and you're out there hiking along and you come across a shed, you can now pick it up, take it with you. I think it's a step in the right direction because I always thought that initial, you had to go through the shed hunting course and all that. I thought it was a little goofy until I dug into it. And I realized that essentially it only affected what, like Lincoln, White Pine, Elko, a handful of counties.
Yeah, Eureka County.
Eureka.
Yeah.
Where the bulk of the elk herds were.
Right.
And the problem that the state was having was essentially these out-of-state commercial shed hunting businesses.
Yes.
Would come in and they'd send a dozen 15-year-olds out on side-by-sides. And they would ignore all the trails. They'd rip through stands of Quakeys. They'd pick up every available elk shed out there. So that's why the initial limitation on that. But as I pointed out to people, because I heard a lot of scuttlebutt about, hey, what's the government think they own discarded animal trash now? This is ridiculous. I always pointed out to them, hey, look, if you're chukar hunting in North Washoe County and you pick up like a deer shed or something, it doesn't cover you. It doesn't affect you. That's a better word. Yeah. So what this does, if I'm not mistaken, this covers those counties that originally
were
limited.
Earmarked.
Okay.
Limited. Yeah.
So
had a season.
Yeah. Season. You had to get the little shed hunting certificate, all that stuff. Now, if you are an incidental shed hunter, I'll call it, which I am.
Yeah. Same here.
If I see it when I'm out and about, I pick it up and I'm like, hey, cool. It's going on the mantle at home. I'm not out there trying to glass up sheds, ripping around. Like it's not my thing.
Yeah. Destroying landscape and
bingo.
Habitat. Yeah.
So that did pass and that covers you now. If you're out there, let's say in June in White Pine County and you're hiking around and you go, holy smokes, look at that 6.2 mule deer rack or whatever.
But in June, you'd be fine because that's during the season. But if you were out
there. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. The
season's May 1st to June 30th.
Oh, gotcha.
So if you're out there in
July
or in April or something like that, and you find a last year's shed, yeah, you can pick it up. But
yes.
You know, and that brings up a good point, because when I was out scouting, I ran into a local and a really super cool dude. And he goes out there every year, tag or not, and he just spends a week and he just cruises around looking at the elk and the deer and just enjoys himself. He's only 25 miles from home.
Right.
So it's just what he does. It's his thing. And we were talking about the shed hunting.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And all of this. And
what was his take?
He doesn't think it works. He doesn't think that the law works, because over the last several years that he's been out there, he has come across several camps of these shed hunting groups, these companies and such.
Right.
Primarily out of Utah and Idaho. That are shed hunting at the beginning of April, like the first weekend in April, they're out there before anyone else gets out there. And he goes, I've taken pictures of them. I've taken video. I've confronted a few of them. And their response is, F Nevada, there's no one out here to enforce it, and we're going to do what we want, and you guys can pound sand.
And, gotcha.
And they...
He's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. Yeah. He's not wrong, especially when, you know, these areas are massive. You know, some of our hunting areas are absolutely massive, and they get in there. The thing is they're taking their UTVs and ATVs, and they see a shed on the side of the mountain. Instead of, you know, they're 20-something years old, get off the ATV. They're just crashing brush and riding the machine to the shed, and they're just making a mess of our landscape. They don't care. No. Not my property. I don't live here.
Well, and when I say he's not wrong, I mean the enforceability of it. And that was always my thing when it first passed and it first came out. I think about the massive swath of units that an individual game warden has to cover in the state of Nevada anyway.
Yeah, it's a lot.
A ton of land. So I always kind of thought like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. You can pass, whatever, do your thing. But how in the world are you actually going to enforce this?
Yeah.
So that's when I say he's not wrong. I don't mean the F Nevada, all that stuff. Hey, go pound sand, go back to your home state, whatever. As far as the enforceability, that was always the weak spot in that whole thing in my mind, was like, game wardens are already strapped for the amount of land they cover. Now you're telling them they're going to go check hunting, like shed hunting. Did you do the free online course or not?
Yeah.
Like, that just seemed ludicrous to me to be able to enforce it.
It would be tough for them to cover all of the ground, you know, during these seasons. And that's why the public's so important, to report this stuff in a really timely manner so that somebody can possibly get out there and take care of these situations. But sometimes just people watch it and like, all right, jerks, and they just go about their business and they don't, you know, nothing's done about it. But
even if you report it, I mean, I think about some of the areas that I like to be in to look at elk and all that. You're talking about a good couple hours back to cell service.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, okay, yeah, hey, I got pictures. These guys have a mound of antlers that looks like one of those pictures from the 1950s or something.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got this whole stack of antlers. They're definitely, you know, fudging on the whole commercial operation deal. Am I going to drive 2 hours to... Maybe when I'm on my way out and I get cell service, I can be like, hey, here's the license plate. This was a little fishy. I think these guys were doing this. Yeah, how do you report that in those areas?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's probably something that should be kind of ironed out. Is like, if you see it, this is the process you should follow in order to report it. This is the information we would need, type of a thing. It just stinks that people are just so disrespectful about, you know, especially our landscape, our environment, and just...
Well, and the herds. I mean, that's the big thing is like, you're talking about a time when they're basically rebuilding. They're coming off a hard winter or even just a light winter. Winter's a tough time for critters on
no
the landscape.
What,
yeah. So you're going in there and you're pushing these herds to the point of exhaustion just to get these sheds. Yeah. Not only are you destroying the landscape, but you're really screwing this up for those of us that want to hunt those herds and draw a tag.
Yeah. Stressing out the poor animals never have a break throughout the entire year.
Yes.
They're constantly being chased. There's no dead period for them to just kind of relax.
Are you aware of any cases under that new law?
No, I'm not aware of any.
Yeah, I haven't heard any news stories.
That's not something that gets shared.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, okay. It's like anything else, you know, that's when there's investigations, everything's sealed.
Just like
any other law enforcement type deal. It's not like, you know, sending out a newsletter.
Hey, we popped this shed on here.
Look at these pictures we got. Yeah.
Okay, so you wouldn't hear about it. That's one of those thoughts I had was like, okay, has this been effective? It seems unenforceable to me. But let's say maybe there is an investigation or something underway. It's a relatively new law.
Yeah, it's relatively new, and I'm not even sure what the punishments are. I'm sure there's citations.
Well, and especially for out of state guys.
Yeah, and there's financial, you know, things. But beyond that, I don't know what the impacts would be.
If anybody out there listening, if you have heard of a story of a shed hunting operation getting popped, or maybe you have some information on one of these shed hunting things. You were out there. You saw it going on. Feel free to text us. The number is 775-884-9910. I hear the music. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, there's some first come, first serve junior tags still available.
Yes.
Gosh, ton of stuff going on right now. It's that preseason whirlwind of all these news stories breaking. Do not go anywhere. Dave and I are going to talk about all of it coming up on Nevada Backcountry. Thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Halasupalite, for sponsoring Nevada Backcountry. And I want to make sure we plug the Northern Nevada Outfitters. It's the Hunt for Hope charity dinner. It's going to be August 7th at 7 o'clock at the Star Hotel. They still have some tickets available. And I think I saw there's even a donation tab or portal on the website. So go check them out. It's northernnevadaoutfitters.org. Go to the website, donate, buy some tickets to the dinner. The Star is one of my favorite places to stop when I'm coming back from those Northern Nevada units. So get involved. It's for a great cause. And you are listening to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Junior first come, first serve tags still available. Yeah. I got the email the other day. If you have a youth hunter and they were unsuccessful in the draw and you want to get them out and hunt, now these are the primitive tags.
Yes.
That's what the email said was, hey, it's primitive. But those are on first come, first serve now.
Yes. Yeah. The horns, antelope horns shorter than ears.
Oh, and I saw mule deer as well.
And mule deer, yeah. And the mule deer, yeah. The primitive hunts, the muzzleloader and the archery. You know, it's at least a tag. Get you out in the field.
Agreed.
You know, granted, starting out and running to the store to buy your kid a full archery setup could get a little spendy, but...
I would encourage people to do that, but I look at that stuff as like, well, what else are you going to do in August and September?
Yeah.
You know what exactly. I mean? If you don't have a tag, you got a kid at home that's interested in hunting, and maybe you have the muzzleloader, and you say, well, I'm just going to wait for the muzzleloader dates, and we'll do that. Go out. I mean, pick up the tag. Go out and hunt with your kid.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole lot of them available right now.
Yes.
I mean, a bunch.
You know it's bad, or not bad, but you know there's a pile when Endow is emailing people.
Yeah.
Hey, but just so you're aware, this is out there right now.
Yeah.
Piggybacking on that with the youth hunting thing. For years in the state of Nevada, I just had this conversation 2 weeks ago. In the state of Nevada, if your son or daughter turned 12 before the start of the open
season,
you could actually apply.
Yes.
Now, you can only buy bonus points.
Correct.
Yeah. So that changed. You know, it's funny how people get this stuff stuck in their head, but somebody I was having a conversation with said, you didn't put her in for that draw, talking about my daughter, Madeline.
Right.
Because she doesn't turn 12 until October. And I said, well, no, now the way the system works is you can buy those bonus points for the seasons she would be eligible for.
Right.
But because she was not 12 at the time of the draw, I could only purchase bonus points.
Yeah.
It's like that elk, the 7 and 7 thing. There's still people out there who don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. I still hear people saying, well, if I don't get it, I only have to wait five. And I'm like, no. It's 7 and 7. When did that change? Like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that changed.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Same thing with the youth thing.
Exactly. And, you know, it was tough with the old program where if your child turned 12 before the beginning of the season that they want to hunt, there's so many moving parts in that because it's like, well, Jimmy turns 12 September 30th, and then Sarah turns 12 on the 2nd of October. So you've got all of these just variations to that process. It's like if they're not 12 at the draw, you know, one date, one time, if they're not 12, then they're going to have to wait 1 year. That's it. Simple as that.
And as a parent to a kid who fell into that, like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I got Madeline a pile of bonus points. She's got a leg up for next year.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, she got a new bow.
And she is shooting it very well.
Yeah, she is. And she's been a trooper. We've been going out to that Silver Arrow Bowman, the Wednesday night league.
Yeah.
We didn't make it this week. We've been dragging her out there. Man, I got to tell you, it has been hotter than hell.
Dude. Yeah.
It has been miserable hot. And Madeline's been hiking along shooting her bow. She skips a few of the longer shots, but I just look at it. She could use an extra year. Oh. You got to know your kid. You got to know their maturity level. I shouldn't have used names, but I look at some of my kids and I'm like, oh yeah, they'd be mature enough to do that now. They got that in the bag, no problem. And then some of them you're like, yeah, another year wouldn't be the worst case.
The one walking up to you with a lizard tail sticking out of the mouth.
100%. Yeah.
You're like, that one might.
If we didn't homeschool our kids and somebody was like, hey, you need to put that kid in kindergarten, I'd be like, yeah, you don't want that.
You don't. I don't think that's a good idea. Wait. Yeah. I don't think the system can handle this quite yet.
No. Yeah. God, no.
His preference is no clothing.
Yeah. No shoes, no clothing.
No shoes, no clothing. Yeah.
Hey, know the maturity level of your kids. And, you know, maybe you hold off till they're 13. But I did want to put that out there because I got an email on it and I went, holy smokes, man. If they're talking about this, there's got to be a pile of them left over.
Another thing on that is, you know, with the school system constantly moving about with some of their dates. But I know when my kids were in school, it was tough to do the archery hunting with them because school always started like right at opening day of archery season, August 9th, August 10th, August 7th. It was like that first week of August, school started. So that really puts a dampener on getting your kid out for the primitive season.
Remember, we talked that friend of ours, Chris Costin.
Yeah.
His daughter had a tag, and that's what she was starting at a new school. And he said, I don't want her to miss the first week of school.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. We'll wait. We'll turn it in and hunt next year.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of variables. That is a tough one, especially for parents. It's like if your kid, and right at that age too, you're talking about potentially changing schools.
Yeah. Or going from one school to another, from middle school to high school or grade school to middle school. And like, oh yeah, they're not going to be there the first week of school when all of this stuff, introductions and orientations are happening.
Yeah. It's an awkward enough age. You don't want your kid to.
Yeah. They smell and everything.
Oh, buddy. Real quick on the first come, first serve thing. We got corrected by a listener.
Oh.
And I think what we got corrected on was it used to be first come, first serve. If you were ineligible for the tag, it would show up, but it'd be grayed out.
Correct.
Okay, it's not that way anymore. It just doesn't show up.
Oh, they did change it.
It does not show up.
All right, that was probably a Calcomy thing.
Yeah, I tested this.
Did you?
And so I went into Cynthia's account, I went into my account, and that listener, and man, I apologize, I forget your name now, but they were absolutely right. Yeah, it just doesn't show up. You don't even have the option.
Nice. That's a cool feature because I haven't been on it this year, but I know last year when I was tinkering trying to get a tag, it was just grayed out.
It would show up, but it was grayed out.
It was all grayed.
Yeah.
You couldn't click it.
No, this year I've been on first come, first serve a lot. My wife was unsuccessful in the second draw.
Bummer.
Yeah. So we've been watching it pretty closely, but thank you to the listener that pointed that out. And I think it was an Instagram message and they said, hey, just to clarify, this is the way it is now. And sure enough, it just doesn't show up.
That's so, way better.
I agree.
That's a lot better.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, God dang it.
Well, and you don't have the gaming going on.
Yes.
You don't have the phone a friend like, hey, I know so-and-so is eligible.
Right.
I see this grade. Hey, buddy, Carl, get on
grab
there.
Grab it.
Yeah. Hey, you were 100% correct. I think that's about it on first come, first serve stuff. But before we go to break, I wanted to talk about the water situation in Southern Nevada. We got another listener question. And again, I'm going to forget your username, but they have a deer tag and they're going to go into the Mormon Mountains on a backpack hunt.
Okay.
That's what they want to do. And they asked for some pointers. They said, hey, it's this, that, and the other thing. And they asked for some, do you know anything about this unit? So if you were listening, here's what I would say in general about the Mormon Mountains down there. That is one of the areas that has been hit hard by this drought.
Yes.
So I would say your best bet is to call the biologist down there and talk to them.
Yeah.
Because anything I tell you, or I say, hey, check out this guzzler, check out that guzzler, this general area, I think it's going to be a dramatically different landscape.
It is a very different landscape than 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Water has become king there. If you can find a good water source and or a good area where you can see like moist ground, nice green up, and everything else around it's yellow, you're going to see animals in that vicinity.
Yes.
But yeah, water is key right now.
That's a combo tag. It's 271 and 272.
272, yeah.
Yeah. I would not go into 271. I'd go into 272 over there by Virgin Peak on the border, and I would check out that area. So if you're listening, take that for what it's worth. I think 272 is going to be a better unit than 271 for mule deer. Anyway, that's my two cents on that. Sorry to anybody listening that has those tags. And realistically, this is something that's going to affect everybody. If you think you know, you a couple years ago, you were in 271 in that Mormon Mountains wilderness area.
Yeah.
I think it's dramatically different now.
Definitely need to get in there prior to the hunt and kind of look at that landscape. It has changed a lot.
For the listener that sent us that question, I will answer their question on Instagram and point his nose kind of in the right direction. Man, biologist, call the biologist.
Definitely.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, Dave. And then when we come back, we'll talk about the lithium mine being delayed and whatever else. We'll go grab bag for the final segment.
Yep, let's do it.
Segment of Nevada Backcountry. If you're just joining us and you missed the first three segments, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com. Just click on the podcast tab and all the past episodes are available there. A couple wins. We had the big public land win recently. However, there was a lithium boron mine proposed down there in Southern Nevada, Rhyolite Ridge.
Yeah.
So that one was basically stopped but the company that was proposing it, an Australian company, due to the softening market for lithium, they are going to hold off on that. That wasn't the bigger of the two. The bigger of the two is the Thacker Pass lithium mine.
Right.
That was ordered by the state to basically stop all activity. Was it like a water dispute or something with the rancher out there?
Yeah.
There's some issue over water rights going on there. But both you and I over the break, when we were looking this stuff up, we said, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I hate to be like that, but.
Well, that's the thing though. I mean, you know, Nevada, we are struggling for water. We're one of the driest states in the entire country. If you've ever researched lithium mining.
The extraction process.
They use an extraordinary amount of water,
right?
Insane amount of water. And once they use it, it's done. It's so contaminated, it can't really be used for anything else. It's kind of like the earth after they're in there mining for everything that they can pull out of the earth. Once
nothing
they're
grows.
Done, nothing grows. There are studies showing that some of these sites in other parts of the world and country, 30, 40 years after the mining was done, still nothing's growing. The places look like Mars.
Yes.
Because they pull everything out of the earth.
Yeah. Then you add in the toll it'll take on the water supply.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, the whole thing, I am not a big fan of a lot of these projects that get proposed in the state of Nevada to include some of the solar stuff. It just doesn't make sense in my mind, and it destroys some of these areas I hold near and dear.
Yeah.
As far as hunting areas, as of right now, the one that may come back, I think the Thacker Pass one, with all the NEPA stuff and the water and all that. I hope, anyway, the Thacker Pass one will be just delayed for years and years and years and years.
Yeah, even the Rhyolite one is going to probably...
You think that'll fall apart too?
Well, yeah, they lost their largest investor, that South African organization or company.
Oh, good.
Because
I mean, I hate to, there's some, well, yeah. Some poor guy's ready to go vertical on his wrist, and here right. I am like, good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they pulled like this. It was close to $500 million investment in the mining because of the lithium price has dropped like over 80% since its peak in like 2022.
Okay. So it's not financially feasible to actually go in and do that.
Oh, yeah, and that might be what's pushing a lot of these haltings of the lithium mining, and is because the price has gone so low right now that it's probably not financially feasible for them to go in there and spend $1 billion for pennies.
To make $500 million.
Right, exactly.
And then lose, yeah.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I guess we'll just wait and see, you know.
Anytime I see that stuff, I go, okay, that's a win. That's a good thing for hunters, outdoorsmen, and women in the state of Nevada. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to bring up, because I logged into our Instagram over the break. It was Josh J, Basin Chaser, JJ Basin Chaser. I got to tell you, he's one of the most active listeners we got. Sends us stuff all the time. And I'll give him credit too. I've never met the guy, I don't think. Maybe in passing at some conservation group thing. But he has got great points, and he is one that, man, when we say something on the show, he researches it or he just knows the answer. So he was the one that pointed out that first come, first serve thing where it's not even available anymore.
Oh, okay, good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. And then the other one, I won't say his last name, but Ralph is the one that sent us the message about the Mormon Mountains wilderness. And yeah, just that situation down there. So Ralph, as soon as we wrap up the show here, I'll respond to you again. I mean, I'm going to reemphasize that point. Anything I tell you is going to be pretty outdated. I would definitely call the biologists down there. They're going to be much more, they'll have been in that unit recently, and they'll be able to tell you like, hey, I would look here instead. You've got a massive swath of the state to cover there. 271 and 272 are both huge units. And he's planning on doing a 12-day backpack hunt. So he certainly got the time to go explore a couple different spots.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else you got, Dave? You're over there clicking away.
Yeah, well, we got some fires in our state right now.
Oh, man, that's right. So, let's talk about that.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Sucky thing. But you got the Cornucopia fire that's burning in 067. So it's right on the edge of 6762. Okay. So if you've got tags in some of these areas, just be aware of
like
what's
me?
Going out. Yeah, exactly. You know, be aware of what's going on. You got another one out in 077,
yes.
Which is the Hot Canyon fire. The Cornucopia is at like 3,700 acres, but it's not well contained.
Okay.
As well as the, what's the Hot Springs? Hot Springs fire is sitting at 12,800 acres, and it's 70% contained. So that one's
they'll probably get
there.
That knocked down soon.
Well, and there's supposed to be some rain coming up.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, there's a system running through there supposedly, but you know we've all dealt with that where it's like, yeah, get ready for some flash flooding tomorrow, and it's blue skies, you know, so
it's Nevada.
It's Nevada. We've also got some fires in 046. The Buffalo fire's going on. So, you know, before you go taking off and getting into your area, make sure you check to see what the conditions are in your area in relation to fires and access. Last thing you want to do is get in there and end up having to get helicoptered out. You know, those guys that had to have that done a couple years back, they drove in, didn't realize there was a fire, and they drove right into the heart of the thing, and then they got surrounded by fire. Luckily, they got out of there, but it was pretty nasty.
Still a pretty involved rescue.
Right,
for sure.
Exactly. And that's all on your comes your bill. But there's a couple more going on. But like I said, just check your area. Be aware.
Yeah. And thank you. Honestly, the Cornucopia fire was not on my radar. And that's right on the border of the unit I have a tag in this season.
Yeah.
On that
might have
west,
some smoke effect, depending.
Oh, man.
Which is always even worse.
The last cow tag I drew, I ate the tag. It was that real bad year for fires. My dad and I woke up and I fired up my inReach and got in touch with my wife to see where the fire was. It was so smoky. You couldn't see 50 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought the fire, I honestly thought the fire was right on top of us, and it wasn't. I think it was that year it was all burning.
Was it
in
like
Canada.
3 years ago or is it longer?
It was right before COVID, 2019 maybe.
Oh, okay. All right. Because Pat and I had that tag in near the Success Loop that 1 year. We couldn't hunt.
What year was that?
That was 3 years ago that we had the cow tag, and we couldn't hunt for about 3 or 4 days because it was so smoky. You couldn't glass the mountain in front of you.
Yes.
And
yeah.
We ended up in the trailer just going like stir crazy.
My dad and I were like, well, we're just going to have to get out, get on foot and try to find the herd. Man, my lungs have never hurt.
Oh my God.
Like they, I went up and over Spruce Mountain on foot. And by the end of that day, it was like the equivalent of smoking 3 packs of cigarettes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
And I went, no, I can't see 50 yards in any direction. It was also the infamous trip where I got food poisoning in Elko on the way out there.
Oh,
so the first 2 days were spent, it was pretty miserable.
It was pretty miserable.
Yeah.
Oh, we tried doing the same thing, and we only lasted like 30 or 40 minutes out there because our eyes were burning, our throats hurt. And
you're a lot smarter.
Well, and you know, you're driving along and you got ash on your machines, yep, and stuff, and you ash every, and you're like, this is bad.
Is,
this is worse than we anticipated. So
yep.
Yeah,
we stuck it out for a couple more days after the smoke rolled in. But at a certain point, it's like, man, I'm going to lick my wounds on this one and just call it. Now, if it had been a bull tag or something, ooh, man, I might have smoked a few more packs of cigarettes to get it done.
Hunted with a respirator.
On a cow tag, it was like an archery cow tag. I can't see 50 yards. I spent the first 48 hours of the hunt losing 10 pounds because I had food poisoning. And then by the time that finally passed and I went, oh, okay, I feel good. I can do this hunt. The smoke rolled in.
Yeah.
And it was just one thing after the other. It was one of those hunts where it was like, man, I am living my own country western song right now. You know, next thing I know, I'm going to get back to service and my wife has sold the trailer, taken the dogs and left me.
Left you. Yeah.
I'm done with this. So, yeah, anyway, I will definitely keep an eye on that fire burning in 067 because that is just due west of where I'm going to be hunting. It's time to get out of here. Sincere thanks to everybody who tunes in, all of you that message us, that send us texts, send us emails. Thank you. Dave and I are only two people, man. We try to stay abreast of most of this stuff, but at the end of the day, there's stuff that's going to crop up that I just don't hear about, you don't hear about.
Yep.
So sincere thank you to the listeners, and do not go anywhere because coming up next is Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.